this, or hold on a second. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm turning it up right now.
Okay, sir.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, sir, we'll get into the hearing formally in a second, but what is your name?
Ricky Earl Powell.
Powell.
Okay, Powell. And which of us has Mr. Powell today?
You do.
Thank you.
Here it is.
Okay, Mr. Powell, my name is Lee Quinones. I'm the acting board chairman of the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The next voice you will hear will be our panel lead, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. So just give us a moment, okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Powell.
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm looking down my microphone.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Rick Powell, 114-677.
Thank you, sir. I'm appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on July 3rd, and you signed a paper that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, on that paper is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So, would you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself?
I will represent myself.
Okay, sir, that's fine. I'd like to introduce you to the board who's conducting the hearing today. If you look on the other end of the bench for me, so to your right, on the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. Also with us in the room, we have our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Westby, and he will represent the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in the hearing today.
Okay.
Okay, sir. So before we get started, I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Powell and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Powell?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Powell, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Powell, for phase one, I'm going to read each of these two allegations to you, and I'm going to need you to tell me if they are true or false. So we'll start phase one with, here's the allegation number one. And that is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about May 9th, 2018, for the task LCMS lab report dated May 18th, 2018. Mr. Powell, is this true or false?
It's true.
That's true? Okay, sir. And then the other allegation number 2, is that you were in violation of condition number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to complete substance abuse treatment at the Maricopa Reentry Center on or about June 5th, 2018, as directed. Mr. Powell, is this true or false?
Can I say something before?
I'll tell you what, in the second phase of the hearing, you'll have an opportunity to explain anything you want to explain. But for now, we just need to know if you completed the treatment program at Maricopa Reentry Center.
I did not.
Okay, so that means that this statement is true. You did not complete
yes.
it. Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Powell's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Second. Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Mr. Neal. And back to you, Mr. Powell. We'll go to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important of the two to you, and that is whether your community supervision will be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information on your case, and we'll be back with you in just a moment to ask you more questions and talk with you more. Then that's when you'll have your chance to explain what happened. Okay,
all right.
All right, so just hold on the line for a minute. We'll be right back with you. Mr. Westby.
On March 9th, 2017, Mr. Powell was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested June 5th, 2018, by PBC staff for no new charges. He was back in DOC custody June 5th, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of November 1st, 2019, 0 scout days. Current conviction, 2006, theft of means of transportation, 3.5 years. Prior convictions, 1995, marijuana violation, 3 counts, each for 4.5 years. 2005, drug paraphernalia, 1.5 years. 2005, trafficking in stolen property, 2 counts, count 1, 7 years, count 2, 3 years. 2005, theft, 1.5 years. This is his second term in DOC, CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 1999, TIS release completion, 8 months. His disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. After his return to DOC, he received disciplinary on July 23rd, 2018 for disobeying verbal orders and that disciplinary is pending. He has no arrests on the record. He has arrests on the record, however, the charges were dismissed or not filed. His community risk score is a G1B2.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Powell, we also have a little written summary of your case, and it looks like you, when you were released, you were to live with your mother, Mary Somerville, on Buckskin Lane in Payson. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And did you stay there the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, the whole time you were out. Okay, and you were looking for jobs, it says here, although, how did that go? Were you employed or looking?
No, I wasn't employed. I just had a quadruple bypass surgery, and I couldn't do anything.
Okay.
So I was actually looking because I couldn't do anything, and I've been a painting contractor all my life, so I don't know nothing else.
Okay.
But I was healing up, and I was going to go, once I heal up, this is the second part of the story of why I did stay in rehabs.
Okay, well, it looks like from this next page I just turned over, it looks like you had a lot of different ones. It looks like you were at Community Bridges in March, because you had 2 positive drug screens for methamphetamine. So you went in for 5 days of detox and 30 days of residential treatment. But did you go to that? I'm not following.
Yes, I did. I went to that, and then I got the wires that they put my chest back together with that broke. And they took me to the hospital, the emergency, that's why I found out I had broken wires in my chest from the emergency room doctor. So I came back, and I only had, like, I think 12 days left before I graduated.
Okay.
And they made me bleed because I was a medical issue.
Right, and sometimes they, if they're not prepared to deal with medical issues, they have no choice but to do that. So, and where was that? Was that at, NLC?
That was at Community Bridges.
Community Bridges, okay, all right. So, so you wound up leaving there with like 12 days left, you said, but you were still having, it looks like, all kinds of pain, and you were concerned about your medical situation.
Yes.
But then you decided to try and do outpatient treatment, is that correct?
Well, I wanted to so I could be close to my doctors and stuff, but my parole officer wouldn't let me, and he sent me to MRI.
MRC?
Yeah, MRC.
Okay.
And I had like 7 days of that, and supposedly they were taking me to the hospital so I can take care of this, and I talked to the deputy warden and Seal 4 Bullets Tyson.
Okay.
I didn't want to go if I was going to lose my bed, but they guaranteed me I could have my bed back.
Okay. Did you get the staples taken out of your chest finally?
No, I'm still aware that from DOC you can do it.
Okay.
And I've seen like six different doctors, a gymnasium that did a sonogram, and a technician that did an x-ray, and a stress test, and they all saw the wires and said, I gotta have them taken out of.
All right, okay. All right. Go ahead.
I want to finish that MCU because that was the only one that really worked for me, and I really like it. It's a good program. And I want to finish, and after I finish, I want to do that outpatient at community prison.
Outpatient. So it looks like you have some drug testing at TASC, and it looks like around, for the first part of the year, it looked like April, May, you were doing okay, you produced negatives, but then in December, suddenly, there's a positive for methamphetamine, again in February, another positive, again in May, another positive, and again, second time in May, another positive. What happened?
My best friend, my father died. I haven't seen him like in 10 years, and I haven't got to go see him, but I was waiting to heal up a little bit better. And he died 3 days before I was going to go visit him, so I feel bad about that. And then my 13-year-old daughter came home and said that she had gonorrhea, and we caught her stealing and lying and spending the night instead of going to her friend's house, she was going to the boy's house. That and then my medical issues and everything, it's no excuse. I mean, I'm going to have a gun in my head. But once you get started on that crap, it's hard to get off. I'd never do it again. You know, I've spent a lot of time on
that. I hope you're serious about that. I hope you are, because it's especially bad if you're an heart patient. It's especially bad.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I think I'd make a good counselor, you know, after I finish. I want to do this night two, you know, okay. And I think I want to get some counseling, but I'd like to have the opportunity to do it because I've shown that I can. You know, like I said, it was my fault. It wasn't my dad's fault or anything. And I know where the problem is.
Okay, let me ask you something else here, sir. In May of this year, when you were on your way to Maricopa Reentry Center, your parole officer was trying to get a hold of you and couldn't. You were not answering your phone. It just kept going to voicemail.
I guess my phone was dead. I don't have a car charger because I never leave town. So my phone was dead, or I would have answered it.
Oh, I see.
I've never ran from anything. I've never invited him or anything.
Well, you can see where your parole officer might get the impression that you were avoiding.
Yes.
Yeah, if you didn't, not answering your phone when you call. Okay. I see our community corrections officer has some information to give me. Mr. Westby?
Yes, there's a criminal note dated June 5th, 2018 from Senior Prosecutor Clements. And it states on here, after receiving a call this morning from staff at MRC, myself and assigned PO Jacob Lister concurrently have run out of options for helping this offender. He has repeatedly been discharged from treatment programs, including CPI and community bridges, for medical issues, chest pains, and repeatedly discharged afterward from Banner Medical in Mason, Arizona. After being treated and found they had no medical issue that would preclude him from participating in an inpatient program. The final attempt by Peter Lister to help this offender was a placement at MRC after the offender left the CBI program early, 22 days into a 30-day program, and was discharged unsuccessfully, after which he immediately tested positive for the use of methamphetamine again. The offender repeatedly claims he has a heart condition and yet will not make the effort to complete a treatment program to help him with his addiction to a substance that could cause his death from a heart condition. As we feel there are options to help this offender, he's repeatedly tested positive for methamphetamine use when is appropriate and he will make a return to custody. So generally, there's an NRC, that's where they exhaust all resources there. And so it is doubtful that he will be permitted back into the MRC program. based on Daniel Dozenbeck, who was also staffed with one of the counselors, and also Deputy Warden Bernhardt.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Powell, are you able to get the medical care there that you need? Or is corrections, can you get yourself on turning to H&R, or?
I've been here a month and a half, 2 months. So I've turned in like 15 H&Rs, and I still haven't got my medical attention.
Okay, so, well, I would just say just keep at it, because they will get to you. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Any questions, Mr. Neal, Mr. Kinnis? No. Okay, Mr. Powell, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of that you wish later than you had told us, without repeating what you've told us already?
Not that I know of, besides I'd like to have another chance, and I won't rush down and let my mother down.
Okay.
I guess that's it. All I could do is learn by my mistakes, and I'm learning by them.
Okay, Mr. Powell. Thank you for your statement. The board is going to go into discussion soon. We had a discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, so we haven't discussed your case before right now. So it may sound like we're talking to you, but it's the board talking to itself. Okay, sir?
Okay.
So just ask you to remain on the phone there and just remain silent. We'll be right back with you.
All right.
Okay, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Powell is a person who has some challenging medical issues, it sounds like. And I know those are difficult, and having been through, not personally, but someone very close to me went through the same thing. But it does appear that he's having trouble with the methamphetamine use, and that certainly complicates anything that he's trying to do with his heart condition. In fact, I can't think of a much worse drug to be using when you have a heart condition. I'm just for his own safety. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision, partly because of the remote location, because it's Payson. If it was Phoenix, where there's hospitals all over the place, maybe, but I'm thinking because of the location, his best bet is to stay where he is, but I would certainly listen to any input of fellow board members. Okay, I'm going to make a motion then. Based on information in Warrant 2018W1635, a conversation with Mr. Powell, information provided by Mr. Westby, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Powell was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by not completing the drug treatment programming as directed by his parole officer and by continuing to use amphetamines and methamphetamine while in community supervision.
So, agreed.
Okay. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed by Mr. Canales. Okay, Mr. Powell, back to you. You were in the board's discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. We're showing a release date for you of November 1st of 2019, so it'll be a bit of time. When you have a heart condition, using amphetamines is very, very dangerous practice. I hope you are aware of that. We wish you the best. One of our jobs is to look out for everyone's safety, including yours. So,
okay. So
we wish you the best, sir. Continue on your quest there to get your staples removed, and this concludes your hearing, sir. We'd appreciate if you give the phone back to the CO3.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Powell.